the General Failure Podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 284 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of June 10th, 2021. This week, it's time to spread eagle. The king returns, and get donked, nerd. I'm CJ, and I got with me TJ.
Sup?
And Dom.
Ka-chow.
Sweet. So we'll start the way that we usually do with what are you playing. Why don't you guys go ahead? Tell us what you two are playing.
So I started playing Knockout City. It is on EA Play, so I got it for free. And it's a dodgeball game. Basically 3v3. I think there's a 4v4 mode. It's a lot like, basically picture Rocket League, but with dodgeballs instead. I saw this at E3 last year, I think, and I was like, wow, this is a stupid idea. But then I was like, you know what? It's free, so I'll play it. And I was like, oh, this game literally has no right being as much fun and as good as it actually is.
Not in the fucking slightest.
Like,
wow.
It is phenomenal. Yeah, I cannot believe it.
For me, at least, I don't know if it would be as fun playing by myself. I've been playing with Dom playing with two other people that week.
It's as fun playing by yourself. I was playing ranked last night, and I got MVP 5 games in a row, including one game where I went 15-0. I had 15 knockouts and no deaths. Like, it's just as fun. I mean, yeah, maybe it's not as fun because there's a lot of chance that you get paired up with garbage people, which you do all the time, and that sucks. Like, dudes who just, like, stand there and jump, and it's, like, their first game. That's frustrating.
I mean, you also get paired up with me, so, I mean...
Yeah, and that's, like, basically as bad.
Just as bad.
But basically the premise is it's a 3v3 dodgeball game. You get two hits until you're knocked out. There are regular dodgeballs and there are special balls. There's a sniper ball that you can charge up and shoot really fast. It's actually a football. There is a multi-ball where you get three of them. A cage ball.
Yeah,
the cage ball has police lights on it. And you just basically throw it at somebody and they get balled up. And they could roll away and they can eventually break out. Or you can pick them up and throw them off a cliff or throw them at their own teammates and kill them. What else is there? There's a moon ball that shoots you really high when you get hit. And there is a bomb ball that sucks ass. And it basically just starts a countdown and blows up huge and still only takes away one heart. And you can also hurt yourself with it. So that blows. Mm-hmm. I think that's all the balls there are, the special ones.
You can also roll up into a ball.
Yep.
And then become pretty much a ball. And your teammates can throw you regularly, or they can hold you for a few seconds, and you shoot up like a rocket, and then come down like a fucking bomb, and you kill anything in that radius.
Yep,
which is amazing.
The cool thing is that when you're balled up, when someone throws you, it only takes one hit to kill somebody.
Yeah.
The downside is if the opponent catches you and throws you back, it only takes one hit to kill your teammates too. Yep. And there's nothing worse than getting killed with your own teammate as a ball.
Yep.
But
nice. We've also figured out I cannot have Dom as a ball in my hand, or we automatically die.
Yeah. Like every single time.
Every fucking time. I died immediately.
It's been worse, though. I was playing, I think it was last night or the night before, and I balled up, and my teammate picked me up and just threw me off the cliff. And I was like, you fucking asshole. Like, it wasn't malicious. He was just that bad. I was like, how stupid can you be? He just, like, turned around and yeet. And I was like, what the fuck? So that sucks.
Damn.
Get this shit out of here.
It's on EA Play, so if you have EA Play, you get it for free. If you don't have EA Play, I believe it's $20, and it is well worth $20. I have had much more than $20 worth of fun in this game in the past week that I've been playing it. We streamed. God damn it. I made TJ get it, and then I made Greg download it too. And we streamed last Friday, We started at like a little after 5, maybe around 5:30 or so. Mm-hmm. And then it was like 9:30 and we were all just like, oh fuck, we gotta go. We just like played for 4 hours and it felt like nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cause you're just like, oh, one more game we can do. One more game. Oh, we can't.
Yeah.
And then we decide, oh, we can't stop on a losing game. And we lost every other game after that.
Games in a row. Yeah. And then we were just like, listen, we can't do this. So it's just one of those games that it is. So one more game. I'll do one more game. And like hours later, you're just like, oh shit.
Old Halo multiplayer.
Yeah. I'm at level 64 already, I think, or 62.
I think I'm somewhere in the 30s.
Yeah, I'm pretty high right now, and it's just like,
yeah,
yeah, B.
420 blaze it.
548 blaze it. Yeah, I mean, I literally, it's just so much damn fun. If you like Rocket League, this is something that you're gonna like. And I mean, if you have Game Pass, CJ, which I believe you do still,
yeah, I do.
Just fucking download it. It's so much
fun.
It's
a small ass game. Like, it's not like, you know, graphics heavy or anything. It looks cool, but it's like cartoonish and shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's got a good style, so the graphics are good for the style that it has. And you know, you do different throws. You just go through the training and learn how to do all the throws and all the cool stuff that you can do. It's just so much fun. That's all I can say.
Wow. Again, shocked at how much fun it is, because it's just a dodgeball game, and you think, oh, this is shitty, but like,
and then you see EA on it, and you're like, uh-oh.
And you're like, oh shit, we're fucked here. But it's actually a lot of fun. And I'm just,
there's a lot of like stupid quality of life things that don't exist. Like, you can't see your stats in game. You have to wait until you are at the end of the game. And you have to like hit start and go to a stats screen. It doesn't like, there's no button to just like show you your current stats.
Like, the menus are just really weird. And you can't customize. You have to go back to a standard lobby to like,
yeah, you have to like go all the way back to the lobby to customize your character. There's no career stats, which really annoys me, because my KDR right now is probably like real high, because I think maybe between two and five games I've gotten under a one. So even most games I get over even, and I've had plenty of games where I've been like 15-1. I had a game where I was 13-1. There was one game I got an achievement. So basically it's a best 2 out of 3 rounds, and the rounds are first to 10 points. And I got an achievement at the end of one round, the first round of the game, that said, get 10 kills or get 10 KOs without a single death. And I was like, that's cool. And then I realized it was the end of the first round. And I was like, that means that I got all 10 KOs in the first round by myself and didn't fucking die once. So we swept them 10-0. And I was just like, good Lord, like, am I by myself here? I just completely
the
decimated them.
The matchups can be really weird. Like, you could decimate someone one round and then you get matched up with another team and get fucking destroyed.
Yeah, which has happened to us, where we just like get the floor wiped with us.
I don't think there's any like level matching at all.
No.
Or even close to.
There is no skill-based matchmaking at all.
It seems wild in what you get matched with.
There is like the high-tier players, and then there are players where it's like, oh, this is your first game. Okay.
And then there's also, you know, there's standard matches and there's ranked matches, which are going to have different types of players too. So
But the ranked, in a lot of games, like Rocket League is a big one, where if you go to ranked, it's like, these people are so good, they're just killing you. I can play ranked no problem, and like, I win a lot of games, I get MVP, I, you know, it's not really an issue.
The rest of us mere mortals fucking suck at it.
Well, I mean, get good, bitch.
Get
It's just a fun little game, and I've watched other Let's Players play it as well, and they've also been sucked into it very quickly, and they're like,
yeah.
Again, like, this game has no reason to be this good, and it somehow is. It's just like one of those sneaky games that just you want to play more, which, so I recommend it completely.
Yep.
I will have to check it out.
Uh-huh.
So, moving on, I want to talk about some bird games that I've been playing. I can't remember. I feel like I might have talked about Wingspan before. I think I have. I was looking for it in our old docs, and I didn't see any come up in a search.
It was one of the last things you talked about, I think, before you went on paternity leave.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay. Okay, so in that case, I won't talk about Wingspan again. I did just for, because my birthday was yesterday, as of recording this.
Bitch.
Old bitch. Closer to 40 than I am to 20. anyway, will you stop changing the fucking notes? I got the expansion for Wingspan, which includes like all
the more European birds.
Yeah, more birds, basically. It's like the European birds and whatnot.
We found more birds that we could stuff into this box. Yeah. And we sent them to you.
Well, the base game only comes with North American birds. And then you get the European expansion, which I now have. And it changes. It doesn't change the game. It just adds like some new like fun things. Like the bird abilities, basically. Just how like you can strategize throughout the game. But I also got this other game called Q-Birds. And I can't remember, TJ, have I ever made you play Q-Birds on Board Game Arena?
I don't think so.
Okay. Q-Birds is just like one of those games that I started playing on Board Game Arena. And I got obsessed with it to the point that like it is, I think, the only game or one of the only games that I play competitively on Board Game Arena. Like I actually play it in the, you know, they
you
have
the
like
ranked
a,
matches.
Yeah, the ranked matches of this board game called Q-Birds. And it's really simple. Basically, there are, I think, 8 different types of birds. And the way you win the game is you either collect 7 different types of birds, or 2 groups of 3, basically. So there's 2 different ways that you win the game. And how that works is like each bird, like say a duck, has a number, 2 numbers on it, 4 and 6. So if you collect 4 ducks and you put those ducks down, then you get to keep one in your like stash in front of you. So now you have a duck, you don't have to get ducks again. You have to get 6 other types of birds and you win. Or if you do like the higher number, the 6, and you have 6 ducks, you lay that down, you get to keep 2. So now you're close to getting that 3 birds, 2 groups of 3 birds to win the game as well. And it's really interesting like how you're playing that, because other people are also taking these cards out of the game as they're like flocking them and everything. And also they're going into a discard pile that like doesn't really get reshuffled that often. I'm trying to find like how often I've played this game, but anyway, I now own the physical copy of this game, and I don't know what it is about it, but I love it. It is like seriously one of my favorite games. And I've played it so freaking much on Board Game Arena.
Is it related to Wingspan? Because
it's not.
Just another board game. From what I remember, it sounds like this kind of a similar.
It's a much more simple game. It's a much, much more simple game, because it's like the way it works is like you have a hand of birds in your hand. And again, there's only 8 different types of birds in the game. And so you have a hand of 8 birds in your hand to begin with. And in front of you that everybody gets to pick from is 4 rows of 3 birds. So when you lay them down in the beginning of the game. So if I want to, I'm trying to collect flamingos or whatever. So it's hard to explain it like without seeing it visually. And like there's a flamingo in one of the rows, but next to it is like 2 ducks. And I have a duck in my hand. Mm-hmm. I can put a duck next to the flamingo. So now I've like sandwiched the duck between for the flamingo between the 2 ducks. I get to take every card in between the ducks that I laid down.
Okay.
So it's like when you lay down 2 of the same cards, you get everything in between them. The thing is, if I had like 2 ducks in my hand, I would have to lay down both of them. So it's like just to pick up a card, you're always putting down all of whatever you have of that bird in your hand. But it kind of like gets to the point where like if you can choose to like just put down, like if you can't match anything up to like pick up cards or you don't want to, you can like throw a card on the side. Or like if I had a duck, I could put it next to another duck and then it won't actually like trigger anything for me to pick anything up. So I get to take 2 cards, like 2 random, randos from the deck.
or I could, like, if I run out of cards and I have no cards in my hand, it triggers a whole new round, which makes everybody discard their card and pick up a brand new hand. Mm-hmm. But, like, for whatever reason, like, it is just, like, one of those competitive games for me that I just, yeah, like...
So there's just some times where you get a game where you're just like, I don't know why, but I love this.
Yeah.
I want all of this.
Oh, it's not as bad as I thought it was. I've played it 54 times.
Oh, okay. That's not terrible.
Psychopath. I thought it would be worse than that. Yeah, I thought it would be worse than that. But I still only have a 65% win on that, on out of those 54 games. I only have 29 victories.
I would tell you what my percent, my win percentage in Knockout City is if they had fucking career stats, but they don't.
I get it. I will say, I love that I own the physical copy of the game now. It is difficult when you've been playing it on Board Game Arena and they set it up for you, and because you're picking up like whole swaths of cards, like the rows can get huge, like just loaded up with like crap birds that nobody wants. So like you're trying to like pick up like all these cards and reshuffle them and deal them out. Yeah.
Crap birds. You know, yeah. Those are all the birds that shit on my car.
It's the Great Eastern Crap Bird. but I would highly recommend hopping on Board Game Arena. It is not a premium game, so you can play it. Mm-hmm. Seriously, their average time to play the game is 9 minutes.
Wow. Like, okay. You can finish. I like games like that where it's like nice and quick. And like if you can just want to play like one or two games and you have limited time, you just hop in, play a couple games, and that's it.
You can do that with Seven Wonders if you really want to push it. If people know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the thing. If people don't know what they're doing, Seven Wonders can also last 2 hours. Yeah.
It takes longer to do all the fucking math than it does to play the game.
Yeah. And that's the other nice thing about like on Board Game Arena. Like, I think I played like Seven Wonders a couple times on Board Game Arena, and it's like seriously, the game is like 20 minutes, 15 minutes long just to play it, because like everyone's just like click, click, click. Like they know exactly what they want, they take it. So it's really nice. But yeah, Q-Birds, C-U-B-I-R-D-S.
Not what it says. That's not what it says in our
show notes. I'm not saying what it actually says.
It says cup dicks in our notes. It says Cuphead 2, the flockening.
The flockening.
I was gonna add to that and put Cuphead 2, the flockening 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I hate all of you. Welcome back.
Yeah.
So moving on to a little nerd news. TJ, you've got all the news for us.
I'm just dominating nerd news today.
Dominating.
So Netflix did some announcements, and they also announced the Cowboy Bebop show. It's already been announced, and they've already said who's going to be in it, but they actually showed the cast, and they're going to show interviews later. But they also announced that Yoko Kanno, who did the original soundtrack to the original anime, which is an amazing jazz fusion soundtrack, probably one of the best soundtracks in an anime, she will be returning for the live action series. She will be doing all of the work for the music.
Now I feel bad because when I wrote the show notes, I wrote the king returns, and I should have wrote the queen returns.
Yeah.
That's my bad.
Mobby. This includes John Cho playing Spike.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Daniela Pineda.
You got it.
Pineda. There you go. We'll be playing Faye Valentine. And then Mustafa Shakir. I'm really bad with names. He will be playing Jet Black, which is awesome. And they look, I just can't wait for this show to fucking happen, because at least it's a show and not a movie, because if it was a movie, I'd be very concerned, because anime movie, live action movies have not done well in the last few years.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm fucking Death Note moving and eat my ass. And I'm just excited that Yoko Kanno's back for all the music. It's going to be so good. And I'm just really excited for this show. And I can't fucking wait. And then they did, also Netflix did a little showing, like a little graphics for Sandman as well. And they showed off more of the cast for Sandman, which even looks even better. I'm really excited for that show. The best part is people were complaining about the casting and Neil Gaiman pretty much told them to go fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was even more amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he's never one to give a shit about stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel like they've complained about like everything he ever does. And every time he's just like, shut up.
Yeah. He's just like, fuck off. And then I'm just so excited for, was it Gwendolyn Christie to play Lucifer? Cause she fits it so perfectly. Because the original casting for when Neil Gaiman wrote it was fucking David Bowie.
Yeah, so like, she basically is David Bowie.
David Bowie. So like, I'm excited for that. I'm just really excited for the show in general. So Netflix has got my number. So I can't wait for both Cowboy Bebop, and I'm excited to see what they do in Cowboy Bebop. Will they follow the show? Will they just have a new storylines? I don't know.
I think they'll probably have new story. I don't imagine, because like I was saying yesterday, like Cowboy Bebop is the type of show that still holds up. So like if you want to see that story, just go watch it. Like it's available, and there's no reason to really retread that. Like it's a good time, I think, to do a new story with those characters.
Yeah. I'd be excited for both. Honestly, either or.
Yeah.
Both. I don't care. I'm just excited for live action, and I like John Cho. I think he's an amazing actor.
Yeah, John Cho is awesome.
I'm excited to see how he does with Spike Spiegel, especially since like in the interview he kind of has the hair, like all of the moppy hair over the place. I'm just like, yes, can't wait. So I'm excited, and they announced that it will be this fall that the show will be coming out.
So, even with the pandemic, that's nuts.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Pretty good. So they announced that it will be this fall. And I'm fucking excited to shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So while you're talking about that, I did remember, you reminded me of something that I forgot I wanted to put on here. That was some interesting news that I heard about. You're no longer dominating. So Rob Zombie recently announced on his, I think his Twitter, that he will be creating a Munsters movie for Universal,
which makes no fucking sense.
You know
at
what?
At all.
I mean, if he goes dark with it.
So, no.
But like, it's the Munsters.
So I did my due diligence on this. Apparently, this dude is like the biggest Munsters fan out there. Like, there's interviews with him on the Howard Stern show where Stern was like grilling him on like really obscure Munsters facts, and he got everything right. And I mean, you got to think the Dracula, like that's a Munsters reference.
Yeah.
So like he is a huge Munsters fan, and I think the big problem is that
a horror movie guy.
But I think that's the problem. I had the exact same reaction. I was like, shit. I was like, I don't want like a gritty, dark horror
gritty
Munsters
dark
movie.
Munsters. Like added it's Batman too.
Yeah. The show is like, it's campy, but like the big thing about it not just being campy is it has a lot of heart. Like there's a lot of like really positive messages in the movie. And I don't want like, you know, some drunk bald dude playing like Herman Munster, like abusing, I don't know. But with that said, I think the problem with Rob Zombie is he is now a horror director, and that's it. He is a good writer. He is a good director, but nobody gives him a chance on anything outside of horror.
Because everyone remembers him as
Dom Stat looks doubtful.
So, listen, I like his Halloween movie a lot. That's actually, I think it's a really good retelling of Halloween.
Which is what I'm getting. But that's what I'm getting to.
His dialogue is some of the worst stuff I've ever read. There's a line in that movie where the stepdad, of course, is supposed to be like a creepy, you know, pedophile type of guy, because he writes very one-dimensional characters like that. And he looks at the girl, like his stepdaughter, like goes up the stairs, and he looks over, he goes, "That girl's got a nice little dumper on her." And I'm just like, that's the most disgusting fucking sentence I've ever heard. And like, I understand that you're supposed to be like this gross, creepy alcoholic, but like, even that's like too far. Just like,
yeah,
dumper. Like, oh, fuck yourself. Yeah. Like, and I've noticed that throughout Rob Zombie's movies, a lot of his dialogue is like kind of like that, where it's just like, well, what would be the worst thing this person can say? And like, that is the worst thing that that person could say. But like, it's just also very like, it takes you out of the movie because it's just, yeah, too far.
Yeah. 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 There's definitely something to that. I think, but also like, you know, a lot of the stuff that he's done, he's like written himself and directed himself, and stuff like Halloween, where, you know, you still said it was a good movie. Like, I think he's a huge movie buff. I know, yeah, that. And that, I think, does him credit because he has a lot of to work with. I was really worried at first when I heard about it, but the more I read about him and like how much he likes like all movies, and how there are non-horror movies that, like, he has dream movies that he wants to direct. I can't remember what they were now, but like, they won't let him do it because he's a horror guy and they don't, yeah, want that name attached.
Well, I mean, with a name like Rob Zombie, you kind of...
Yeah. I do think he has a problem. He has like a Tim Burton kind of problem here, where it's like he keeps...
casting his fucking wife in the movie?
His wife, yeah. And who's the other person? Fred Gwynn?
No, Fred Gwynn was...
It's Fred Gwynn's the original.
Yeah. So the guy that he puts in all his movies unfortunately died. So...
Yeah.
If we're thinking of the same person...
apparently
Sid
he directed
Haig.
A CSI Miami episode.
Nice. Sid, yeah, Haig was in a lot of his movies.
No, not Sid Haig.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I can't remember his name now. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at like the stuff he's made, it's 99% like horror, yeah, shit.
But like, there's a surprising amount of other stuff that he's like written, like one-off episodes.
He's and, also
like,
in the Guardians of the Galaxy 1 TV and shit. 2.
Yeah.
Rob Which Zombie is?
Yeah, he's a voice cameo.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I can see that.
Funky.
And like the kind of hope, I saw a lot of people like kind of like showing examples of like, you know, the possibility of giving people like Rob Zombie a chance on something that's not horror was like Eli Roth. What did he direct? Shit.
Who, Eli Roth?
Yeah.
Hostel.
No, that wasn't a horror movie. There was a really, I can't remember what it was now.
So Life of Pi. Was that him?
Eli Roth was not Life of Pi. I don't think. I cannot imagine that was him.
Maybe it wasn't Eli Roth. I mean, it was a different
Baywatch. There
was I don't think it was Baywatch. Yeah, there was another like horror director that they gave.
You're thinking of James Wan, who does all horror and then did Aquaman.
No, it wasn't Aquaman. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, I'm optimistic right now. I still like, I have no idea what to expect. I don't watch horror films, but like I can recognize what other people and how they kind of feel about Rob Zombie and how a lot of people are like, don't worry, he's not going to ruin this. So
I mean,
I'm very hopeful.
Anyone who is super, super into monsters is probably dead. So I mean, I don't think
that's
it's
actually a really good
excuse
point.
Munch.
I mean, you're an old person,
no,
so you don't
you're
know.
Dead inside.
No, because the big thing about the monsters is the monsters didn't do well when it originally came out in the 60s.
Right.
It did its best when it went to syndication
in the
90s.
The 80s and 90s.
80s
yeah.
and 90s, yeah. So,
I think they're like, this isn't a major thing that if it goes badly, they'll be like, fuck.
It's like the Little Rascals. Yeah. When they made the Little Rascals movie, it was like, who gives a shit if it sucks? Everyone who knows about the Little Rascals is fucking 900 years old.
Yeah. And the Munsters IP has been thrown out quite a bit. Like, I remember there was like a, they did like a few Halloween specials, like back in the noughts. And then, what's his name? Who did, Hannibal, the Hannibal show. Took a stab at
Mads Mikkelsen or the guy who
the guy who directed Brian
Cranston.
Brian Cranston. he did I think he called it 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
That
there
sounds
was like
familiar.
One,
yeah,
there was
I remember
one
that.
Episode of it. Yeah, it was 2012. With Jerry O'Connell as Herman Munster, Portia de Rossi was in it. Eddie Izzard was grandpa, and he was fucking great.
That sounds great, actually.
It was dark. Like, it was. It was very obviously a... Oh, it was Brian Singer. Yep. Oh. Brian Singer. Or Brian Fuller. I'm sorry. Brian Fuller was the director.
Brian Singer, he probably molested a lot of those people.
Brian Fuller was the writer. Brian Singer was the director.
He
probably molested a lot of those people.
Yeah. But it never got picked up. It was a one-off like pilot, and it just never got picked up.
The only thing I'll say is that if Rob Zombie doesn't cast Ted Cruz as Grandpa Munster, then he's really missing out on an opportunity.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. And I'm also excited about the, or interested, I wouldn't say excited, interested about the Wednesday Addams show coming to Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I
don't know, because it's Tim Burton. I don't know about Tim Burton anymore.
I don't know how I feel about it.
Is it a swing or a fucking miss?
You never know. It could be anything. So anyway, to finish this out, TJ, what's your last news?
So if you're under a rock and don't know about Critical Role, it's a D&D show done by a bunch of voice actors. They just wrapped up their second series, their second season, I guess, of their characters for this Critical Role, and people are wondering, when's the next season going to happen? What's going on? So they just announced that a new show called Exandria Unlimited will be doing a short 8-episode series, airing at the same time that normal Critical Role would be at, and they're actually mixing it up where Matt Mercer will not be the DM for this one. He will actually be playing it this time, which will be really cool to see him play. Because usually he does like the specials. They do like someone takes over for DM for a day and they do that. But to see him in multiple episodes as a party member would be great. Coming back will be Ashley Johnson. Everyone knows her from The Last of Us. She does so many voices. It's crazy.
And the Avengers.
Yeah. Liam O'Brien, he will be coming back as well. But there will also be adding Amy Carrero. She was, I think she was She-Ra on the She-Ra animated show. She will be there. Robbie Damon, who apparently plays a role in Sailor, the newer Sailor Moon. And then the Game Master will be Abrea.
There's a newer Sailor Moon?
Yeah, there's a newer Sailor Moon show.
What the fuck? Where have I been?
I don't
been?
Know how new it is, but then the new Game Master will be, I'm going to butcher this shit, Abrea Iyengar. She does a lot of DMing for a lot of online shows and stuff like that. And Matt Mercer has given his, and what's going to happen with this is going to take place 30 years after the first campaign. And 10 years after the second one, but take place in the same area that the first campaign took place. So it's pretty much
interesting.
30 years after the first campaign characters was ended, it'll take place in that area. So it'll be cool to see Matt not guiding things in this one where he's playing as a player and someone else taking the reins of like, they get to build out the world even more. And it's just cool to see that they're doing this. It's only 8 episodes. That's it. And then they're probably going to announce what campaign 3 will be. But they haven't announced that yet. But it will be... Exandria Unlimited will be airing Thursday, June 24th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. That will be the first episode. And then it'll keep going. And it'll be released on YouTube and stuff like that. But it'll be on their Critical Role Twitch as it goes, but it's really cool to see something different, but in the same universe, because sometimes they do different things, but it's not in the same universe at all. But it's cool to see that Matt gets to play this time. Some of the cast has been rearranged a little bit, and to be able to still play in that universe and see what happens. I'm fucking excited for it. I still need to catch up with the ending of season 2. Or campaign 2. The last episode was 7 hours long.
God damn it. What the fuck?
I think it went into like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m.
God.
So that I'm still like probably 20-30 episodes behind, so I really gotta get my ass moving. Also, they're still working on the animated version of season or campaign 1. which was the record-breaking Kickstarter that they had. They're also working on a board game as well called Ukotoa. I'm just really excited to see the new world, or not even a new world, an old world played with new characters.
Yeah.
And then also how they interact with all the stuff that's happened in the first campaign. So I'm excited. It's really cool that they're bringing new people in, but hopefully campaign three stuff will be announced as well. See what they're doing. But yeah, I'm excited. So is it Thursday yet?
Nice. That is awesome. All right. So check that stuff out when it comes out and try to catch up on your Critical Role if you can.
Oh God, no, you can't.
let's take a quick break to line our pockets with cash. We'll be right back. And we're back. So moving on to a little geek on, geek off. I got something real quick. Apple, I must just said Microsoft, because I was looking at Dom's thing.
Applesoft.
Applesoft. Apple, oh, God damn it. Apple.
Look what you've done.
Just had their, June conference, basically, where they
super thought you were gonna say Jew, and I was like, whoa.
Whoa. Apple's got their Jew conference going on again.
Where they reveal all the new stuff coming out in the fall.
Space lasers and everything.
Yeah, everything that's basically coming out in their fall. All their major developments and stuff like that.
It's Pride Month. Please donate to Pride Month.
If you are an Apple user. Wait.
You're an Apple user. every place that you see a rainbow flag online, you have to donate a dollar, but not to them.
I got my Pride flag hanging outside my house. Can people donate dollars to me, please?
It looks really nice.
It does.
Hold on. I don't know. Do you have an American flag outside your house?
Not right now. No, I took it down to put the Pride flag up.
Just a Pride flag. Okay, then I think you're good.
But
I've been an
extreme
stickler for no. For some reason, the big thing that I harp on is flag code. I love U.S. flag code.
Oh, yeah,
because
it's a nightmare.
Because nobody follows it.
No.
Literally nobody.
That's the thing, is I don't pretend to be following the law or anything. I don't give a shit about U.S. flag code. Like, that doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I'm not pretending to be all high and mighty. So I fly the American flag outside my house, I got no problem with that. And if people want to be like, that breaks flag code, I'll say, I don't care. But it's the people that are like, fucking Constitution. And then you're like, that breaks flag code. And they're like, meh. Like, those people are hypocrites.
It's not
I
even
still
like
want
a real...
to wave at my Assassin's Creed 3 flag, the colonial flag.
I like it. I like
with the big Assassin's Creed logo in the middle.
Nice. The big things that they... Apple, like I was talking about, mostly what they showed, it wasn't any new products because this is their like development conference, so it was all of their operating systems. So for
no one cares about.
Yeah, macOS Monterey, the
Monterey,
iPad.
Monterey, huh?
Monterey, yeah.
Like the iPod.
Like the cheese?
Yeah, Monterey cheese. Monterey Jack.
Next, you're going to have macOS Monster. macOS Lacey Swiss.
I like it. Lacey Swiss.
Some sharp cheddar.
You had to be. No, first it's gonna be like Leopard and Snow Leopard. You're going to have Swiss and then Lacey Swiss.
Lacey Swiss, yeah.
So anyway, the thing I wanted to talk about was the iOS 15 stuff. So about cheese. Because for me, like, again, like, that's all I really care about is the iOS updates, just to see, like, what could they possibly be adding to these operating systems? What they still haven't added compared to what's available on other phones already. And it's really interesting to see what they did this time, because a lot of the stuff seemed to be due to the pandemic, obviously, because people are working from home, and it seems like they're trying to make an attempt to make FaceTime compete with like Zoom in a way, I guess. So FaceTime you can now use on any device. Like, I can FaceTime with you guys if I wanted to.
Wait,
I'm not
FaceTime
entirely
is available for.
Yep. So I can FaceTime with Android users now.
Thank fucking God.
Which is really interesting. I'm not entirely sure how that all works.
It should just be an app like any other app. I have an Apple ID. Like, let me just sign in with it. I really wish they would allow iMessage on other devices too, because the reason that I'm considering and probably going to switch back to iPhone is because iMessage is much easier to me now that Samsung has all the things that I'm like, well, fuck Apple for this. Samsung and basically every other Android phone does at this point. No headphone port, no expandable storage, all that stuff. I'm like, I might as well just go back for the iMessage and for FaceTime.
Yeah. Windows too. So, FaceTime will be Windows, Android.
That's dope.
And it's still like all end-to-end encrypted and everything like that. They also, it looks like, again, like some stuff that they pulled from Discord. So like you can now change the voice isolation to either be like standard. You can like knock out all the sound around you and the voice isolation, or you can do a wide spectrum, which leaves all the ambient sound unfiltered. Mm-hmm. And
say
I know
it
they're
again,
also doing
slower.
Yeah.
Unfiltered ambient sound.
Yeah. So good. You can also on FaceTime do SharePlay. So
daddy.
You can watch videos with people while you're on FaceTime call. So if you're on a FaceTime
That's
call
nice.
And you open up your porn by accident,
right?
You get to watch it with everybody.
By accident.
So yeah. Easily sharing, like watching movies and stuff with other people, for the kind of people that are masochists and watch television.
Movies on their phone.
On their phone
in
because you're an asshole.
In portrait mode.
yeah, even worse.
So there's that. So that's, yeah.
So I'm sending you something, a link on Facebook. Why the fuck do phones have like 5 cameras on them now?
I don't know.
For better pictures.
It's Galaxy S21 Ultra.
It's for depth of field. It's so that you get that like that really good depth of field effect on your pictures.
What the fuck are you
pictures?
Supposed to put your hands on this phone now? Like, I feel like with one lens, you're usually covering it with your thumb by accident. Now there's 5.
Okay, now imagine
not
you're...
Not all of us have fucking hot dogs for fingers, TJ. I can hold my phone like a normal human being and take a picture of you.
You've definitely taken a picture of your thumb by accident.
But also look at this phone and where the cameras are in the upper corner like that.
Yeah.
So your hand's going to wrap around below the cameras and your fingers are going to go up to the other side. Imagine if you're left-handed now. Your fingers are going to start covering those cameras.
But to be fair, if I was left-handed, I'd just kill myself.
There you go.
So also, you gotta like hold your phone in like fucking landscape mode. You're going to like put your hand on those fucking cameras.
Yeah.
Do you people you not know how to use fucking phones?
I don't
say hold it. What's wrong with you?
This just
TJ, hold on. How often do you use the fucking camera on your phone, TJ? What do you take pictures of besides your sweaty balls?
What he takes pictures of, yeah.
I do of my setup or my car.
Or the cats.
Or the cat. Mostly the cats. It's mostly screenshots, actually.
Right, so the camera doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't give a shit about a camera. It's just more real estate on the back that I could put my hand that now has cameras that yell at me every time I smudge it.
I don't know. I'm considering the fact that you might be disabled, that you're just like palming the back of your phone.
Phones are small for me. What the fuck?
Oh my God,
you
guys,
hold it like a
let
fucking
me just
caveman.
Finish. Anyway,
I'm going to brick you with this thing.
So talking about some iMessage stuff that will get Dom to come back possibly as well. Now with
is that when you like hold the top of your penis when you jizz and it just goes back in?
So now if you send people a bunch of dick pics all at once, it combines them all together into like a single album.
Okay.
But like anything you share, like links, any media, all gets stored in like a shared with you kind of area, so you can easily, you don't have to search through your text messages to find that picture that someone sent you. It's all in its own separate area, and you can
that's
like
cool.
Even,
I think Facebook might have something like that where you can just look at all the things that were shared with you. Yeah. So that's nice.
I think it's just pictures though. I don't know because I switch back and forth between the actual desktop app and the web app, and they're so fucking different.
Yeah, I don't even bother with the web app anymore. I use a desktop app exclusively.
Yeah. Of course there's new Memoji stuff in there because you gotta have some emoji. People are loving, I guess there's a Breathe app. I didn't know there's like a whole app for like being mindful on the iPhone that's getting an update.
I did hear about that. Yeah,
people love it. So that has a bunch of new updates coming to it. And you can also, so get ready for AIM, guys. We're back to AIM.
Oh,
you can
no.
You can set statuses now. So like you can have.
I'm gonna put song lyrics.
Yeah. What year is this?
So like if you're like focused on something, that's what you think. So you choose a focus. Like I'm focused on like driving, or I'm focused on working out. And when you go into like iMessage and someone tries to message you, it'll send them like a notification saying like, you know, notifications are silenced.
I'm 99% sure that I can do that right now with my phone, with Google Messages. Cause I know that some people have that where it's like, I'm driving, yeah. I'll get back to you later. And I'm like, I don't yeah. need to know that. Just text me back yeah. later. Don't tell yeah. me you're driving.
But you can set a custom message. So
that's,
if you want to
awesome.
Focus, you can set a custom message.
I just think people don't answer me back cause they don't like me like normal people.
I mean, I feel like I texted you the other day and you still haven't answered me back about it.
What?
So, so here we are.
I call bullshit.
I don't. So they redesigned everything too. So all the notifications are all different and stuff. Maps is getting more updates. I think they're kind of focusing on like, whatever, like city stuff. So like walking around cities, you can now like use maps in like an AR mode. So you can hold your phone up and move it around and it'll figure out where you are and it'll show big arrows of like what streets to walk down.
That's pretty cool. The problem with that though is like some people, when they hold it up, their fucking entire hand covers the camera. he's not even paying attention to me.
So fuck
I
you,
can't
TJ.
Hold cameras, damn it.
Can't hold the phone. Fingers are too big. What do I do?
Safari's getting an update, ass. So you get like tab groups now. Whoop-de-doo. Who actually like? When I first heard that I could group all my tabs in Chrome together, I was like, this is awesome. Guess how many times I've done it since I've learned about it.
Boom.
Exactly. The first day, I was like, this is so cool. I haven't fucking done yeah. it once in like 6 months.
I have no idea how to do it. I never think
it's
about it.
It's such a cool idea, but like it's just so
in
impractical
real world,
a lot of
I'm
times.
I'm just going to have 30 tabs.
Yeah.
Right.
Fuck it.
In Safari on your phone, you can now install extensions. Sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess
that would
be nice for AdBlocker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good. If they make AdBlock for Safari, I'm sure they do.
Instead of downloading a separate browser for AdBlock.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. And then, of course, there's a bunch of new wallet stuff coming to the point where you can actually put your driver's license on your phone.
That seems dangerous.
Yeah, well, I don't like that.
Supposedly it's to be able to use it at the airports, but again, it's like if you're traveling with all this stuff, like I guess maybe if you have it packed away, you should always still have your passport and your driver's license
right.
like on you. But like if you're walking
you,
through the airport, well, you can just hand him your phone.
There's gonna be a lot of people that take your phone and just go like, give me your license. They're not gonna they're not gonna stand for that.
Yeah.
Also,
we'll
all
see.
Those people that go into like buy smokes and stuff and don't have
the
license
thing.
On them.
Buy smokes.
Yeah. It might be good for that if it's like you have to scan your license or something for lottery tickets or beer or something like that, and they can just scan your phone. That would be nice.
Or drugs.
Yeah. And, when you go in and buy a bag of cocaine from the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, they're using all of the RFID technology and whatnot inside of it. I think we talked a little bit about how. You can start cars now with your iPhone, depending on the car company, if they offer that. But like now you can even unlock your home if it has that ability, the right type of lock, as well as like stuff like hotel rooms. Like you can download your hotel room key to your phone and open up the door that way.
I hope someone's testing that because.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's going to go bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the last thing that I really cared about that I wanted to talk about was when you take pictures of stuff now, you can copy the text. So if I take a picture of a flyer, I can get all the text from that flyer.
Oh, so it has like OCR built into it. That's fucking great. That's awesome.
So that's really cool. And it will know if like it's like if I take a picture, like if I'm house hunting and I see like I take a picture of like the realtor. I can get the phone number and add a contact that way. So like all of the, they call it live text.
It pulls up her OnlyFans page. Awesome.
There it is.
I was thinking that you take a picture and it saves it to the phone.
You can also, it has all like translations too. If you don't have the Google Translate app on your phone, now it can do translations through like live text too. So I can take a picture of like, I don't know, a book in Spanish and it will translate words in there for me. I don't think it would translate whole text, but it'll translate words and stuff. As well as like visual lookup. So similar to what Google showed off where like you take a picture of something and it will do like a Google search of what you take a picture of and give you information.
Yeah, my phone does stuff like that.
Yeah,
yep. It'll bing it. some of the things that I don't know if my phone does it now, but my old S8 used to do it where I could take a picture of a plant and it would like find out what type of plant that is, which is really cool. And now my phone just like doesn't do that. It's like, here's pictures on Pinterest. And I'm just like, dude, I don't give a shit. I don't want Pinterest. Show me like what type of plant this is, or at very least Google it.
Everything is now on Pinterest and you need an account to look at it. And it fucking annoys the shit out of me.
Obnoxious.
That's why whenever you're Googling something, you immediately type in -site:pinterest.com.
Yeah.
So it's never included in your fucking searches.
Eat a fucking dick.
And the fact that I have to do that. Yeah. But just the fact that like I have to like literally filter out of my Google searches Pinterest just to find stuff that's not on Pinterest. Because there's been too many times where I've clicked on something, gone there and be like, all right, let me click through anyway to get the website, and the website doesn't exist anymore. I'm like, I fucking hate this so much. Now you have the Siri knowledge. I think they are updating updating Siri as well, so it's no longer going to be like, I can't find that out for you. Like, it'll actually search the web and shit.
Mm-hmm. I think you're fucked.
Yeah, so.
So, my phone, I can do that same thing where I just took a picture of a my Chairman Sanders sticker that I have, and it lets me copy the text from it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I figure that, because that's all, that's still, is it a Google OS, though?
Yeah, it's Google OS.
It's, no, it's Android.
Android, okay.
it did not do a good job. It says Chairman Sanders, and it says Chafin Sanders.
Chafin.
Can you name the fucking episode Chafin Sanders, please? What the fuck?
Chafin Sanders.
Oh my god. So when everyone sees the episode title of Chafin Sanders, now you know what that means. Good god.
The fuck, Chafin Sanders. That sounds goodness. Like a fake name. Like a that sounds like a fake name.
Yeah.
That someone goofed saying a real name and that's what came up.
It sounds like something that like a TV, like a sitcom star would be like, what's your name? And they're trying to think of a fake name like on the spot. And they're like, Chafin Sanders.
So that's where we are with, the iOS stuff. And that's mostly for, iPhone and a little bit, I guess, with iPad OS, but nothing really iPad specific. Nothing like exciting or crazy, but I'm kind of not expecting that anymore. Here we are at iOS 15, and it seems like all the phone companies are like catching up with each other, where like one of them might have one thing, the other one doesn't.
Or slowing down.
Yeah, which, it used to be that like
bound to happen.
Yeah, Android would come out with something, and then like 2 years later, iPhone would have it. And like, now it's getting a little bit closer, where it's like, they're both kind of coming out with stuff at the same time.
Yeah. So we'll see what it is. Tom, why don't you finish this off?
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about xCloud again, because some new information has been revealed. And I feel like this happens to us a lot, where 1 week we're like, well, this would be cool. And then the next week it's and the next week it's true. So I guess it would be cool if Microsoft sent me $1 million in the mail.
Say it's because your devices are always listening to you.
Yep. Exactly. So we talked last week, we were kind of shitting on xCloud a little bit for some of the shortcomings of it. There was some mention that the xCloud servers are actually running off of server blades from the Xbox One S, is the underpowered version of the Xbox One X. So that came out, I don't know, probably close to 3 years ago at this point. It was a little bit more powerful than the standard Xbox One. So those are the blades that xCloud has been running off of, which kind of, I guess, explains exactly what we were talking about. Like, oh, why does this have bad resolution? And why is it so slow to load? And why does it have, latency at the controller? So they're planning on updating the servers to new server blades, which will probably take care of a lot of the problems that we talked about last week. They also are now planning to release an Xbox TV app, and also an xCloud streaming stick. So literally exactly what we were talking about, where you'll get a dongle that you can plug into your TV directly, and you can play your xCloud games right on the TV with a controller, or an Xbox TV app, which will come with certain smart TVs. I'm wondering if it's, because I just got a, like I mentioned last week, I got a new Samsung TV. I'm wondering if it'll be available for download on the Samsung TV. It's not going to make a difference because I have an Xbox, but you know, just for the sake of, is it going to work? But it'll be available for new smart TVs, and you won't even need the dongle. You'll be able to just Bluetooth your controller right to the TV and play that way.
Yeah.
So it's just like all the stuff that we were like, well, it would be cool if we did this. They're doing all of those things.
Heads up, the Xbox One S came out in 2016.
Okay. I almost said 5 years ago, but I was like, it can't be five. I guess it was. So it's running off 5-year-old server plates. Yeah. That's not great. It's
probably what do we have left over? Let's run on this shit.
They also announced that my big ask was they're going to be able to use xCloud services on Xbox consoles later this year, which is exactly what I wanted. I don't want to have to download the game on my Xbox. I want to be able to stream it. So that's fucking great. And that's all really just the stuff that they're announcing today. They still have their E3 event where they're going to be showing a ton of stuff. They have been teasing some big announcement with EA, which I'm wondering what it's going to be. But EA, you know what? I'm going to save it for next week. Yep. There's some stuff that was announced this week that I don't want to talk about yet. So yeah, again, June 13th is the Xbox or Microsoft and Bethesda showcase. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do there. I'm excited to see what they're going to announce with EA. I heard that they also have a new studio acquisition that's going to be interesting. So it's just like all of the shit that we were like, xCloud sucks for these reasons. A week later, we're getting answers to all of those problems. Yeah. So it's just like, it's really cool.
It's nice.
And and I feel like it's going down that path, like we said, where it's like, it's still rough right now, but eventually it will be the best streaming service out there.
Yeah. It's the worst streaming service to play on, but it is technically still the best streaming service due to what you can play.
Right. And it will be
bang for the buck. Yeah.
And it will probably be within the next, by the end of the year, the best streaming
service
only
get
to play
better.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll only get better for sure.
That's really cool. When we were talking about MapleSoft and stuff, I had a Microsoft joke and now I forgot about it. So whatever.
So God damn it.
You're going to get what you want. You'll be able to plug your dongle into your TV and play Xbox games, stream them. So
I'll give you
a win.
I'm
always looking for a place to place my dongle.
You know it.
Or at least I feel like it's getting to the point where I probably need to upgrade my TV, to like an Android TV or something that can actually install apps on it, because my TV, I have a Vizio, but it's not that smart.
No. Well, the problem with TVs and smart TVs is like, all right, I got a new TV and like it has all these apps built into it and stuff. And I'm like, this is cool. I'm never going to use any of those apps because the last TV that I got also came with Netflix and Hulu, I think, and Amazon Prime. And within 2 years, all of those apps are outdated. The TV is outdated enough where it's like, well, now you can't use these apps and we're not going to upgrade Netflix anymore. And I'm just like, I'm not going to buy a TV every 2 years. Like I had that last TV for 7 years and that's pretty much my cycle is like 7 to 10 years for a TV. So like I don't bother with the built-in apps because I'm just going to have either a Chromecast or a Fire Stick, Roku device, or for this TV, I have my Xbox, and that's where I'm going to use all the apps because those are the ones that are not going to get outdated.
Yeah.
So
I'm
like,
just curious about where I'm going to be able to get this. I mean, I'm definitely going to get the dongle and everything so I can get a dongle and the controller, hopefully for like the best latency and stuff using their proprietary stuff. Get a dongle.
Oh.
But like the ability to like, I don't know, have the Roku as well, maybe. Have that Xbox app, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I would assume that they're probably going to roll it out to higher end smart TVs, probably like the Samsungs and the Sonys and things like that. You can install it directly on the TV. And then next, I would assume would actually probably be Apple TV, because that seems to be like the next place all the time is like, oh yeah, let's do Apple TV. But like after that, like the Fire Sticks, I cannot imagine they're gonna allow you to install the Xbox app on Amazon. That's directly taking away from Luna.
Yeah.
a Roku device, those aren't really that big anymore, so I don't know. Yeah, I really don't know what they're going to allow.
Most places have that built in.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be Apple TV, certain TVs directly, and then the rest just get a dongle. And the dongle's not going to be that expensive. It'd probably I'm sure for a controller and dongle together.
Console.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sure for a controller and dongle together, it'll probably be $100.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was saying it's anywhere between, like, I would say $80 to $100, depending on the dongle.
The controllers are like $60. 60, so I figure $40 for a dongle is probably safe.
I can. Dongle. I'll give it to you.
Dongle.
Why don't you give your dongle to Chafin Selders? You can just teabag his little fucking forehead.
There it is. So that's all for us this week. Thank you for listening. And I do want to say, get ready for next week because E3 is coming.
Yep.
And it's going to be, I'm sure, a long ass episode. So prepare your butts
unless
for that.
Stuff sucks, and then it'll be in a very short episode.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. To find our social media links, previous episodes, or leave us a voice message, please visit us at genfailcast.com. If you like what you've heard, please follow us on Spotify or leave a review on iTunes. Everybody say Chafin Selders.
Chafin Selders. Chafin
Selders. It's Jason Statham's evil twin.